Thanks for listening to English Go Podcast. To listen without advertisements or to read episode transcripts, visit englishgo.co.uk for more information.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to part two of my response to Daichi's email. I'm going to continue talking a bit about the topic I was talking about last time, which was when we're speaking English, and specifically about what Daichi mentioned, whereby you're sort of converting from your own native language into English when you're trying to speak. This is something that you definitely don't want to do, but I understand how hard it is not to do it, because I think everyone goes through this process of thinking about something in their own language and then converting it into the language they're speaking, converting it into English. I don't do this anymore. I haven't done this for a long time. That doesn't mean that my Japanese is very good. I don't think my Japanese is very good at all. But this, I definitely haven't done this for a very, very long time. A long time ago, when I was first learning Japanese, I remember seeing, maybe I read this on the internet, or maybe it's in some kind of video I was watching. Someone said, don't do this, you know, don't convert from English into Japanese. You know, don't think of the sentence in English and then convert it into Japanese. They said, if you don't know how to say it in Japanese, then you don't know how to say it. And I thought that was a really good way of putting it, a really good way of explaining it. So maybe, depending on what your mother tongue is, your sort of base language is, your first language, that might be the same for you. Some European languages are quite similar to English, so maybe it is okay. Maybe it is okay to think in one of those languages and convert it into English. But when you've got a language that's so different, like Japanese, I would probably say, if you don't know how to say it, then you don't know how to say it. Or just because you know how like a way of saying it in your own language really doesn't mean you know how to say it in English. Now, the question is, how do you move away from that thinking in your own language? How do you get away from that? If you're using a textbook, and that textbook has, you know, it's like written in your native language. So it's got like two languages in, your own language, and it's got English in as well. That's going to be pretty hard, because you're constantly sort of like going from like native language mode to English mode to native language mode to English mode. That doesn't help your brain. What you have to do is start to develop English mode. It's almost like you're starting to develop an English you, like you're changing who you are, you're changing your character, your personality. And maybe that sounds a little crazy or a little far-fetched, but that is actually true. There are studies that have been done that show that when people learn another language fluently, they actually become different people. Anyway, I'm not going to go into detail. It's a very fascinating subject, very interesting. But I won't explain why. If you want to see why, then maybe search the internet for those kind of studies. But anyway, the important thing is that you do develop this sort of like English you and this English mode. And it's true for me. I do have like a Japanese me. It's weird. if I go into Japanese mode, my behavior changes. Actually, I think I'm a bit more... It depends who I'm talking with, but sometimes I'm a bit more like confident and open in Japanese mode if I'm talking to someone, if I'm talking to my wife, for example, and when we're talking in English, I find that I'm a bit more quiet and reserved for some reason, which is a bit weird. But if I was in Japanese mode and I was talking to someone I don't know, then I'm like really, really reserved. And there's not much body movement going on. You know, I'm not waving my hands around when I'm explaining things. So you change. And you change based upon your sort of input, really. So maybe if you keep watching lots of young people on the television, then you end up acting like a young person, talking like a young person. Maybe if you're watching lots of, I don't know, videos about politics or something, or the news, then maybe you end up talking more like an older person. But yes, this is it's actually an important part of learning a language, and I don't think people talk about it enough. I've never seen anything like this written in a textbook. I've never seen any advice given, like, when you're learning a language, remember that you're sort of creating another you. You're going to get a sort of new personality. It's like a second version of you that you step into when you're speaking, particularly when you're speaking this language. But you've got to get used to that. You've got to get used to going into like native language mode, English mode. And you've got to start feeling like English isn't just this thing that's external to you, that's on the outside. It's on the inside. You know, it's when I speak Japanese now, I've stopped feeling like it's this thing that's foreign to me. When I hear Japanese, it doesn't sound foreign at all. It doesn't sound unusual. It used to. It used to sound very strange, very exotic, and there's so much I couldn't understand. Now I can still hear things quite often that I don't understand, or I still get stuck when I'm speaking and I can't explain things. But it doesn't feel like I'm fighting with Japanese. It feels like... It is a part of me. It is like a mode that I have. I do have a sort of Japanese personality that goes along with the language. But yes, it's stopped feeling foreign. And there's good and bad points to that, to be honest. One of the bad points is that I think when it felt foreign, I found it a lot more interesting. It seemed to be a lot more exciting learning it. You know, it was something different. It wasn't my own language. It wasn't something I already knew. Whereas now, it's every time I hear it, it just sounds like I guess it sort of sounds like English to me, even though it's really not. But I mean, it's become so familiar, the sound of it, and I've known it for so long now that it just really has become familiar. So you should really be aiming for that kind of feeling too. You want it to be familiar, even though it can be a little negative. Maybe you don't find it as interesting. It means that you've really internalized English. It means that you've really sort of made it part of who you are if you get to that stage. Now, one thing you can do if you find that you don't really have like an English character, an English personality, is to copy someone else's. So when you're... Actually, yeah, this is a good point. I don't know if you've done any shadowing or not, but this might be a good time to start doing it. So maybe you can find a podcast or a video, like a YouTuber or something, and they speak sort of how you want to speak. I don't know, maybe you like the way they speak, you like their accent, or they're easy enough to understand so that you can actually copy them. Try copying them. Try repeating what they've said. So as they're talking, you're talking too. And you're saying, like, without thought, really, as quickly as possible, you're repeating what they're saying. That's shadowing. So do that. But don't just copy the words. Don't just, you know, for example, I'm copying the words that this person is saying and they're talking about the weather and it was really cold. No, listen to the emotion in the language. So I'm copying the words that this person was saying and they were talking about the weather and it was really cold. So you've got to start listening to all of that emotion that goes into the language and start copying that. And when you do that, you'll find that maybe, I know your expressions change a bit. Maybe the expressions on your face start to change. Maybe you talk with your hands a bit more. You move your hands a bit more when you're talking, or your body moves a bit or something like that. Language isn't just dead. It's sort of alive. It's connected to feelings and thoughts and emotions. And if your English doesn't have those same connections, then it is going to be a bit dead, I suppose. A bit like dull and detached from you. It's going to be external. So you need to start getting this connection, building this connection, creating this character, creating this English you, creating this personality, and start being that person in English. And the fun thing is, you get to choose who that person is. Maybe it's someone who's quiet. Maybe it's someone who's quite loud. Maybe it's someone who's funny. I don't know. For some reason, according to the studies I've read, you can actually become a different person. You can change your personality as well when you're learning another language, which I think is weird. I know that when I speak Japanese, I'm a lot more silly. I make a lot more jokes than I do in English. I don't know why. I think I've just learnt it from, like, watching people on the television being silly. And I've just copied that style. So yeah, you might be surprised to find that you change too when you start to develop this English personality. I hope you've enjoyed that episode. And amazingly, I have not yet finished answering all of Daichi's email. It was actually a fairly short email, but the points, the questions in there were so good that I had to spend quite a bit of time talking about them to really explain them properly. So I'm glad I didn't write an email back, because I wouldn't have been able to write one this long. There has been lots of information in this episode, so I do hope you've enjoyed it. And if there are any parts you didn't understand and you'd like to read the transcript, if you'd like to see the text, then just look in the description for this episode and you'll find a link to my Patreon page where you'll be able to join up and, see all of that information. And also ask questions. There is, for every episode, there's like a comment box under the episodes, and you can write questions about bits you didn't understand or English that you haven't come across before and you want explained a bit more. Feel free to do that. That's what it's there for. That's what you're signing up for. It's not just about the transcripts, and it's not just about the extra episodes. Anyway, until next time, bye-bye.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Thanks for listening until the very end of the show. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give my podcast a rating, or if you have the time, write a review. It's a really nice way of letting me know you enjoy these episodes and encourages me to make more of them for you. Thanks very much and have a lovely day.